It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting, most of the time. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs, most of the time. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my co-host, Phil Emery, most of the time.
Well, I'm Phil Emery, I think, most of the time for
most
me.
Most of the time?
I think, I am. Maybe I'm someone else half the time. I don't know.
I'm curious about the times where you're not Phil Emery. And I don't know.
That's true. I put on a costume and I fight crime. I don't really fight crime. It's just when people are doing crimes, I'll go up behind them and go, you know, and just make them feel very sort of self-conscious.
Right, right. And that works well.
It doesn't, but,
the police appreciate you?
They do not, but, okay. You know, you do what you can.
All right. We're pleased to have with us tonight a longtime friend of our Song Talk meetup, Mr. Paul Gallagher. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, what's good, guys? Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, great to see you. We see you all time at the meetup, although I believe this is your first time coming on the podcast. Although you have contributed to our songwriting challenges in the past, which is
every
cool.
time, I think.
Pretty much every time, I think. Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
it's great. Good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, and you're a big fan of the podcast as well, so that's amazing, and we appreciate that fully.
You like them jazzy chords.
Yeah, even the jazzy chords.
Yikes.
Yikes! Here we go. We're not going to be talking about jazzy chords tonight, though. Just wait.
Not tonight.
Okay. Everyone else, please send your comments and questions to @songtalkradio on Facebook or Instagram, feedback@songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and there's going to be some tonight, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with songs that we feature, which, of course, we won't have. Right. Tonight, we are talking with Paul Gallagher, the Toronto songwriter behind Paul Gallagher Express, which, fun fact, isn't a band at all. It's just Paul, a bunch of instruments, mostly digital, and a healthy dose of curiosity. Paul started out on drums as a teenager, and somewhere along the way turned his home studio into a musical playground. His songs blend classic storytelling with a dash of experimentation, sometimes tender, sometimes a little quirky, always unexpected. Paul finds ideas everywhere, a news story, a random chat, or even while doom scrolling. For him, making music is pure DIY, one part exploration, one part joy, and maybe a few happy accidents along the way. In the spirit of do-it-yourself, he decided to try self-distribution, and he's here to share what he learned. Great to have you on the show, Paul.
Thanks.
So is this the first time you've tried doing digital distribution for your songs?
Oh, yeah. With the controversy with Spotify and all the, you know, the big ones, I thought, okay, so I've got four songs I want to release, you know, like in December, I released four songs. How am I going to do that? What are my alternatives, right? So I actually used AI to do some searches, like, where can I send my songs, you know, that kind of thing. And, but also I found out, that there's a lot of stuff you have to do behind the scenes. A lot of embedded in the recordings, you need information. And also on top of that, when you're sending to particular stations or particular platforms, you need biographies, you need descriptions of your songs, and there's a whole, it's real nerdville, you know? So there's a lot to do. So it took me almost a month to figure out what I have to do and then to get it done. But I got it done, yeah. And so There, you know, like the thing is, you can still distribute through CD Baby or, you know, DistroKid and those kinds of things. They will distribute to a certain number of platforms, but there's a lot out there. There's pirate stations. There's, you know, like Amazing Radio that broadcasts in Britain and the United States.
So I guess, so no service actually does, like no distribution service covers all the the different channels? Oh, really?
No.
So you have to use multiple?
No. Wow. Oh, no. It's just like when I started looking, I thought, holy smoke. I mean, there's a, there are a lot of like your communities, your community stations. There's also your college and university stations that they don't touch at all. So, yeah. And so there's a lot of detailed information I found out that, yeah, you need to embed in the actual audio recording, which I was like new to me. And, but interestingly enough though, like CD Baby and DistroKid, those kinds of things, when you make your application, they will put some minimal, what they call metadata in there. But if you're going to do it yourself, you should put, there's a lot more you can put in.
Yeah. Like at the very least, you have to enter titles and album title and artist name and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. You've done up a really nice list. So why don't we start off with, item number one?
Okay. The song. So number one. If you're, it doesn't matter what, how you're going to do it, how, if you're going to self-distribute or not, you got to get your co-writers online. You have to have an agreement. Otherwise, you can't do it. Or, I mean, you could do it, but you'd be in trouble. You could get yourself into trouble. I have one song I'd really love to release, but I can't get a hold of a co-writer. They just won't respond. So, okay, I'll just write a new song. You know, but, you know, you really, you have to do that. And then when you do write that song and you have the agreements, get a rough demo. So you get an idea of how long the song is. And, you know, you settled on your title and that kind of thing. And then you register with SOCAN right away. If you're not a member, get yourself registered with SOCAN, both in... what do they call it? When you get the reproduction rights and also the performance rights. Register your song with SOCAN.
Which is free. One thing I want to mention that it is free. It doesn't cost anything.
It's totally free, yeah.
Yeah, but does SOCAN cover performance rights as
it
well?
It does now. They didn't used to.
Oh, okay. That wasn't a thing
before. There was another called M-Rock was the other one. And actually, you should be registering with that because you can get money for playing live. You can play your songs. If you're playing your songs live in a bar, you can, I mean, you don't get much money, but you get something, which I never knew of. But there used to be this company called M-Rock, I think, and then they did the performance. And they got everything's basically merged to SOCAN in Canada.
Yeah. So it's a little, if you want to go into the muddy details, you can register with SOCAN and you can get your performance and reproduction rights. And then there are other rights if you really want to get into the weeds that you can go to other organizations for. But I mean, generally speaking, for the singer-songwriter, you know, the average guy or gal, SOCAN's your way to go. I mean, there's another one though that you should register after a certain point. It's called Media Data, and they track radio play because SOCAN doesn't track radio play.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't really.
Oh wow!
Yeah, or they do, but media. SOCAN really recommends that you register with Media Data as well to cover to make a little bit more encompassing catch, you might say. Yeah. So once you know, then the other thing is, you know, you got your song registered and. And so then you're going to go into the recording studio, you know, whether you're going to do it yourself or you're going to work with a producer, whatever. You want to make sure the song is the best quality that you can do. You know, it's, you make sure when the final recording is everything that you wanted, you know, it's the length you want. Yeah. And like a bonus pro tip is don't have any spaces. Don't have any silence at the beginning of the recording or at the end of the recording because it screws up the timing. So you want to make sure that you have really high quality, and you should record in wave 4824, like 48 kilohertz and 24 bits. And then you use that as your bass, and then you will generate a couple of other files that are a little bit lesser quality, but that's the bass quality you want to start with. And also the other thing is, if you have explicit lyrics, you have to, if you want radio play, you have to record a clean version. So you'll have to have two versions. The thing is, if you're working with a producer, the producer will help you with all those kind of technical things, right? And a lot of times a producer would input the metadata as well. However, you have to collect the stuff, so you might as well do it yourself, right? And you might even be able to do the whole thing cheaper by doing it yourself. It's a lot of work, but you know, you do your best. And so when you're doing your recording, also make sure you make notes of the BPM, the key that the song is in, those kinds of things. You're going to need a spreadsheet of all kinds of stuff. So start making a spreadsheet.
why is it important to record down the BPM and key of each song?
Oh, because that's part of the metadata. Because what the metadata does, when you embed the metadata, when a streaming service or radio station gets the file and gets the information, they want to know in programming what key is it in, because they want to be able to play songs maybe they're not in the same key back to back, or you know they might be playing having a mood, and so they want to have like the BPM, they don't want it to, you know, they want to have recordings at that particular time that are not too fast, or maybe they are fast, you know what I mean? So it's information for the streaming service and the DJ, I guess, you know, the people who do the programming,
the robots that do the programming.
Well, and the robots will read it, right? And they'll use it. Then the next thing is, then you're going to end up with some audio files. You're going to end up with three types of audio files. You're going to end up with a high density file, the wave 4824. You're also going to make a wave 4116, which is like CD quality, and then you're going to make one that's an MP320. 320, sorry. So it's 320 kilobytes per second. So, because again, different platforms use different qualities of recordings. So then you need. So you see how complicated it gets. You have three different types of files now. So now what you need to do is, this is where your spreadsheet's going to come in, because you're going to have to keep track of all this stuff, right? So you're going to have different file folders different file folders for different purposes now at the same time. So you have a folder for distribution, and you're going to have a master folder. So the folder for distribution is going to have all your audio files that have the metadata in it, and your master folder will just be clean. So you need two sets. You need a set of files for your song, three audio files. You see how complex, how many balls are in the air here? So you need three, a distribution folder that has all the metadata in it, and then you need a master file that is clean, because there are some instances where you're just going to use clean audio files, but I won't even get into that. What I wanted to do tonight is just kind of give you a rough overview, because if I got into the weeds, it'd be like a week workshop.
I'm actually curious why, like, what platforms are going to be taking MP3s? Because my understanding is that if you have your 2448 Wave, like, it used to be, I remember back in the days, SoundCloud didn't used to take anything more than a 44/16 bit, but nowadays they take, 24 bit files.
That's right.
And when I've only distributed once on my EP in 2020, and that I just basically handed them like the biggest, fattest WAV files I had, like highest quality WAV files I had, and they figured they did everything else. No one I know of actually asks for an MP3.
But it's, it probably makes sense to actually have them. Better to have them than not.
Yeah, fair enough.
You also can hire someone to do the mastering for you, and part of the mastering service will be making all these different versions with the appropriate metadata. You have to give them the metadata, but that's, that way you don't have to worry about the conversion yourself.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the advantage to an MP3. MP3 has a lot of metadata built into it, whereas WAVs, you can't really attach data to them.
Well, they have broadcast WAVs.
So how that works, though, is I have run across some streaming services that use high-quality MP3s.
Really?
But generally speaking, it's like CD quality or even higher quality. So so you're absolutely right. Absolutely right, Phil. Your engineer or your producer will, at your request, give you those types of files. You still, though, if you go to DistroKid or you go to CD Baby, you will have some metadata in there. However, you won't have your bio in there. You won't have good descriptions of the songs, because those are the kinds of things that streaming services really like to have, and because, they chat along or whatever they do sometimes. They might want to talk about your song. Most of them don't, but some of them do,
What about lyrics? Is that a thing you can embed inside the files? Because I noticed that on Spotify, some songs do have the lyrics built in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can actually, the lyrics are part of the metadata as well. Absolutely. Yeah. There's you put the mood, all kinds of different things. So one thing I want to emphasize is that, so now you have your files, and what you want to do is also you want to make sure that the length of your songs are consistent, believe me, it's happened to me. I found, whoa, how come the song is, it could be 1 or 2 seconds, but it makes a difference. So in registration, you want to make sure that your length of your songs are consistent, right? So that'll happen in the mixing and mastering situation, where that happens. But just make sure that the length of your songs is all consistent.
Well, that's one thing I've always wondered, because everyone always says, okay, register your songs as soon as you write them, essentially. So if you've got a little quickie demo you recorded and it's like, you know, 336, okay, fine. So you put 336 into the SoCan entry when you register your song with SoCan. But then, you know, 3 years later, you're producing the thing, you're recording it for real, and it ends up being 325 because you increased the tempo or something like that, right? When you recorded it. So what do you do then?
Okay, so that's the beauty, is that in a sense, SoCan is, you've registered and it's not made in stone. So the main thing is you get it registered. And then when you've solidified your recording, then you go back to SoCan. I mean, you might even change the title, you know. So when you go back to SoCan and you can modify it, and then you put in, you know, yeah, make sure you put in your co-writers, you put in the right length of the song, and you make sure the title is right. And so then that's how that works. So it by this time when you have your finals, you're mastered, everything is set, right? You're not going to change anything. So then what you do is then that's when you apply for you start applying for codes. I don't think I'll go into that right now, because it gets a little into the weeds. So you need certain codes. So you can if you decide to distribute as well through DiscoKid or CD Baby, they will give you some codes. Or if you want to do it all by yourself, you can find out, you can get the codes yourself. This place.
You're talking about ISRC codes and.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. They are IRSC codes.
So why are those codes important in the first place? Like, who's actually using them and for what?
That IRSC is the identifier of the song and the authors of the song.
So if someone else has the same song title, the same length, you can still tell them apart.
That's right. That IRC, the IRC is a very, it's made in stone. Like once you have an IRC code, if you do a remix of that song, you have to submit for another IRC code. That's like your SIN number.
it's a unique identifier.
Totally unique identifier. Yeah. So you need that's the next thing you do. That's the next thing you get after you have your recording is set up and you know you're ready to go.
I think there was one point that got brought up. Was this when we talked to Alistair Bradley about registrations and stuff? IRC codes are free, like if you're working with DistroKid, CD Baby, whatever, they'll give you IRC codes. But if there's some service out there that's charging you for ISRC, you click it off and you head in another direction, because in any case, you should never be paying for an IRC.
No, absolutely, yeah. Well, that's kind of amazing. Yeah, that's kind of amazing that stuff is kind of free.
It's important. The ISRC codes are important to make sure that the royalties and plays are tracked properly on, especially streaming services.
Oh yeah, okay.
And streaming services will not accept a song without an IRSC code.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So there are some little tricks. I know I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit here, but when I got an IRSC code from CD Baby for one of my songs, and then I wanted to submit it to a platform, the platform wouldn't accept it. So I had to do research. Why? I mean, this is the code I got, right? And the trick is you got to make sure you follow in international standards. The IRSC code I got from CD Baby had lowercase letters, and the standard is uppercase letters. So, you know what I mean? There's these little things that can hold you up.
Whenever a service is giving you an IRC code, presumably they're checking with some kind of an international database to make sure that code is unique. and it's not been taken up by someone else.
Yeah, well, you would think there may be a reason. I have no idea why. However, all my RSC codes from CD Baby for all my recordings have lowercase letters. Once I submitted with the uppercase letters and the numbers, boom, good, good to go. Yeah, I know, you would think, eh? There's a couple of other codes you can get, but there's nothing. But again, as I mentioned about registering with metadata, as soon as you get your RSC code, you know, wherever you get it, register with metadata. And they monitor radio play and streaming, and they report back to SOCAN. So in a sense, they work with SOCAN. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about metadata. Mm-hmm.
It's a big topic.
And what is metadata? So it's information that's embedded in the audio file that has technical information, like the type of file, the size of the file. And you can include information about the song, the artist, rights collection, codes, the mood, vibe, cover art, like the kitchen sink.
Yeah, everything relevant about the song that's attached.
Yeah, to the exactly. Song. Yeah, yeah. Again, as I mentioned, the reason that we had, I mentioned about having a distribution file, a distribution folder, that has your audio files with the metadata, and then a master folder with your audio files without metadata, is because some, like CD Baby, if you're going to submit to CD Baby, you don't want metadata on it. MediaBase doesn't take metadata. YouTube, Bandcamp, you don't want to put metadata on those submissions.
Now, do they ignore them, or do they strip them off, or will they just not accept the file?
Well, they strip them off, and you're absolutely right. They strip them off, and it could cause a little bit of problem. So you're better off submitting, not doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, like when it generally works is you register with the distributor, you upload raw WAV files without any metadata, or if you do, then they're just going to strip it anyway. But the point, but even if you do the metadata before, you still have to do it afterwards, because then you got to go through all the forms on the distributor's website, fill in all the titles, fill in all the, they'll give you the IRC codes, but you fill in all the lyrics, tempos, all that business, you got to fill in on all the forms on the website anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, this is really nerdy stuff, and it's really like for someone who really wants to distribute their own stuff. So, I mean, it's probably not for everybody. So how do you get the metadata onto the audio file? It took me a while to figure that one out. You have to get a metadata app. And you can pay for them, or they're free. The paid ones are a little bit better. I mean, they're not expensive, but I mean, if you're going to be doing, you know, a lot of songs, you might as well pay for it. You know, I don't know, it's about 20, 30 bucks, something like that. Anyway, and also the paid ones are a little bit more easier to use. So you might want to, they don't operate exactly the same. Some apps, you can enter metadata. Let me try to explain this. Some apps enter metadata differently, in the sense that they have what they call fields, right? So some metadata apps have more fields, and some metadata apps have less fields. So what you have to do is you have to figure out, how can I cram all this stuff into this particular field, right? So the one I use is called Meta, M-E-T-A, and it's from who's it from? Nightbirds Evolve. Yeah, it's that's a brand that I use. It's nice and basic. So, you know, it's easier. There's a free one that I find like just too mind-boggling. So, you know, you got to kind of try them out.
Yeah, but again, I mean, if most of the distributors are going to strip the information anyway, then it kind of doesn't matter. Like, you're going to be doing it anyway.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're doing two things. You're distributing to DistroKid and or CD Baby to get their distribution, right? And then you're going to also distribute yourself to like Pirate Radio or some other streaming services. So that's where you put the extra metadata in, right? See, so what I'm saying is the distributors like DistroKid and CD Baby, they do not put anything in there about the artist bio or any kind of you know, real song descriptions. They don't put the lyrics in, but with metadata you can do all that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that you can put in there. So this is where the spreadsheet comes in, is because what you do is you had your spreadsheet with all the different types of things you got to put in, like, you know, the BPM, the key, you know, short bio and all that kind of stuff. And then you put the title of your song in and, you know, you check it off. And so then with the metadata app, then you can make sure that you don't miss anything, right? That's why you have the spreadsheet, so you keep track of what you did, right? So some of the things you're going to need, I mean, these are kind of promotional things, but they also really good to put inside with the metadata, is like your artists and band biographies, and also like song descriptions, you know, and also tags. Like on, I'm not sure if I don't remember, but CD Baby or DistroKid have tags for your songs, but you definitely can put those in with the metadata app, right? Also your cover art. I mean, you do that with DistroKid will do that. CD Baby will do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Where are you going for these other, like the campus community pirate radio? Do you have a list that we can share with our listeners of various of those various stations that you went to? Like, imagine the list is pretty long.
Yeah, I'd have to send it to you. Yeah, you know, because I've got lists of. In AI, I said, you know, give me some in the English speaking world. Give me some independent radio stations, right? So, you know, I got them Australia, Britain, New Zealand, the States, Canada. You know, that kind of.
And you had to go through each of these individually, then, yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean totally.
Yeah, because that's the whole point with one of these DistroKid, CD Baby, Rootnut, whatever, is that they are a distributor. You submit to them once, and they submit to all the digital services. But you're talking outside of the conventional platforms. There's a whole other world of community radio, pirate radio, all these other things. But there's no distribution service to distribute all of those. You have to pinpoint each of them individually.
Yeah, there actually is a paid. I think $7 or $8 a song that you can pay in Canada for distribution to almost a lot of independent stations. It's called Earshot.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You did send us Earshot. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So you can do that if you want to pay $7, whatever. But you know, like you know, for you know, if you know, if you want to go through the work of distributing, you know, to other places, you know, like Pirate Radio and those kinds of things. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. You know, you do have to include more than what just CD Baby or these other distributors have, right? The other thing is in distributing is you need to create what they call a one pager, Are you guys familiar with what that is?
In general, but what is specifically for this, I don't know.
So the one pager has your song on it, or a list of the songs you have, and also has your biography, has descriptions of the song. It has the rights, you know, your rights organizations, and you know, your cover art, that kind of thing, right? So some places where you need to distribute need those kinds of that kind of documentation as well. So yeah. Well, another thing is, one last thing is, when you're distributing, how the platforms get your music is sometimes you can send it to them. Other times, like CBC, if you want to distribute to CBC, and if you're going to distribute to CBC, you definitely need to do all this work, right? There's no way around it. I mean, that's really why I started it, is because I wanted to get distributed to CBC. So what you need to do is you need to set up in Google Docs or Dropbox, a folder with the audio files with the metadata in it, so that they can. And then what you do is you create a link to that Dropbox file or folder, and then you put that both in your metadata but also on your one sheet, so that they know where to download the audio file.
Let's say someone wants to get the widest distribution, but they're not into doing a lot of manual individual work, like sending it out to radio stations. And we actually did do a show about getting your stuff into campus radio. It was a while ago, and it's not, so I don't know if it's different now. Their big thing was you actually had to have a full CD released. They wouldn't actually take individual songs. At least that's what it was at Ryerson or Metropolitan. When we talked to them.
Yeah, and that was several years ago. And who knows if they've changed their thing. I mean, who knows if all community radio is the same.
That's true.
The same.
Well, kind of sort of thing, but yeah. Certainly the person we talked to was saying that was the standard in community radio back then. I have a CD that I've done, and I want to get the widest amount of distribution without having to do a lot of manual sort of individual things. What services should I choose? So it wouldn't be just CD Baby or just DistroKid. You'd use both of them?
I would investigate, because they may overlap.
Well, they definitely overlap, but...
You're also paying double.
Well, yeah, you're paying double, but the difference between DistroKid and CD Baby on the top level of it is DistroKid is a subscription. You pay a yearly fee and you can distribute as much music as you want, and you keep 100% of the royalties. CD Baby charges on a per song or per album basis. So you upload once, you pay once, and it's up there in forever, basically. Right. So the thing with DistroKid is kind of sneaky, in my opinion anyway, because they lock you in. If you cancel your DistroKid subscription, all your songs will disappear from Spotify, iTunes, Google. They're gone. Unless they do have a, you can pay up, keep them on there forever. In which case you may as well just go on with CD Baby.
Right. And cheaper. So, like,
yeah. And then save yourself the years of subscription if you're going to do that. But otherwise you're just paying DistroKid, you know, forever, year after year.
Yeah. So as I said, the reason I started this in the first place was because I wanted to get onto CBC. And since I had to do it anyway, I decided, well, okay, so I got to do this. So where else can I distribute, you know, with all this work I've done, what else can I do, right? So that's when I investigated, like, Pirate Radio and, you know, other venues, you know, like community radio stations and that kind of thing, right? So, that's really the reason I did it. And So, you know, since I did the work already, so what, you know, why not? Right. I mean, you could probably pay somebody to do it.
How long does this process take? So if I sign up with CD Baby, let's say, how long does it take for my stuff is out in Spotify and Apple iTunes or whatever it's called now?
See, it's a magnitude of weeks.
They usually say a month. So the trick is, though, that if you're going to do that, you probably want to set up some kind of promotion. You want to set up, do you want to do anything on Facebook or Instagram, that kind of thing? So those kind of take planning, right? You need to set, you know, make a, I mean, may, do you want to put something up on YouTube? Do you want to do a little video, right?
A lot of artists I follow do that whole pre-save business, asking you to pre-save their songs.
Yeah.
I think that's valuable as far as Spotify is concerned, at least. It the more pre-saves you get, the chances of it getting included in some sort of a, you know, one of their featured playlists kind of thing.
That could take more than a month.
Yeah, which means, I mean, even if CD Baby or DistroKid only takes 2 or 3 weeks to get your song out, technically you may want to strategically ramp up, like you say, do a video on YouTube, do the pre-save thing, you know, ramp it up over a longer period of time, and then your release date kind of is set, you know, months in advance, and then, you know, you just program your distributor to distribute on that day. That's all, or to make it appear on that day.
Yeah, I mean, one of the neat things is, if you're going to do your own metadata, is that you can, as you mentioned before, Neil, you can put your lyrics in there. You know, and, you know, some, I mean, it's helpful for some, you know, for some platforms, you know, they kind of like that. And I mean, the idea is, well, you need a distribution plan. I mean, you got to figure out, okay, so once you got this together, what are you going to do with it, right? So, you know, it's up to the individual, you know, how much they want to do, how much more work they want to put into it. And, while you're doing this, like, I mean, you got your biographies and all this kind of thing. I mean, you can update your websites with all this stuff that you're doing. You know what I mean? Is that collecting all this information for the metadata is also very useful in, updating, you know, your websites or your other platforms, like on SoundCloud and that kind of thing.
We call that in the business building up your communications arsenal.
Yeah.
And because it allows you to actually respond to media inquiries really quickly, especially if there's something that comes up and they want to talk to you. They want to talk to you the next day often, you know, or sometimes that afternoon. And if you have all that stuff ready to go that you can send them, that makes things a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Now, people don't do that, but the pros do, but most people don't do that. They should.
Yeah, yeah. So it's called Electronic Press Kit, or EPK.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, well, that's another thing, is EPK, yeah, yeah.
What was the company that used to do it? Sound, used to do the EPKs for North by Northeast?
Sound Bids? There's one where you book your shows and, or you, yeah, you can... Sonic Bids, something like that.
Anyways, it was a while ago, back in the days of North by Northeast, but in the pre-times. But yeah, you can do a website, or there's services out there that'll help you.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of this information through searching through AI. And even then, I had to kind of sometimes argue with AI. AI would assume certain things. And it, no, that's not what I want to do.
AI will lie to you, but it does it very, very confidently, which is the most dangerous.
That's the problem. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think finally, for myself, I have a toolkit, you know, that works. And
I hear the theme. You put a lot of work into this.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah, there's a lot more. As I said, it's a week-long seminar, right?
Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, most people, when I distributed my EP in 2020, I did not think about community radio or even CBC or anything like that. I've, you know, the only extra I did was Bandcamp, because that's not included in the typical digital distribution packages. There's no Bandcamp. And, but I mean, I used a distributor called Rootnote, which is actually 100% free. If they take 15% of your royalties, I'm like, go ahead. 15% of zero is zero. Go ahead. Right. But you let me do for free, but you know, but they cover like their, like my stuff is on SoundCloud. My stuff is on YouTube Music. My stuff is on Apple. It's all there. It's just, yeah, it's not in the pirate radio, in the independent community radio. It's not on CBC per se. CBC, even if you go to CBC, I think independent artists and things like that, they end up on CBC Radio 3, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, with any kind of regularity, because CBC Radio, they don't do a lot of playlisty kind of things.
No.
Whereas I think Radio 3 does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like Radio 3 is specifically for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have night streams, which they play like all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll put together a list of places that you can send your stuff off to.
Yeah. I think our listeners will be curious about that, because they for sure we've got people out there who want to distribute, but they want to go beyond the typical digital distribution and see what else is out there, because it's kind of interesting, right? Community, some wacky community radio in the, you know, the rural parts of Saskatchewan somewhere, sure.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, this is great, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Really my pleasure. Stuff. Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we'll see you.
Don't go away yet. special thanks to Paul Gallagher. This has been Song Talk Radio. So where can our listeners hear your EP that you spent so much time and effort just distributing? Where can we hear it?
Oh, SoundCloud, YouTube. I got videos for all this stuff on YouTube. I have my website, paulgallagherexpress.com. You know, you can see stuff there. Yeah.
Okay.
Facebook. Right,
For sure. Okay, we'll put a link to your website probably in the show post. and listeners can check out your stuff there. And of course, we want to hear from you too. So please send your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes. And subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. Please visit songtalk.ca/support. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page on the website. And please join us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, we just had our very first in-person meetup at the Free Times Cafe this past weekend, and it was a resounding success. Paul, you were there and you brought along your piano, which was amazing. So thank you for that.
Very heavy.
It's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
Delivery.ca.
And Paul, where's your popular social media? Where do you post the most
stuff? PaulGallagherExpress.com or Facebook, Paul Gallagher Express. Instagram, Paul Gallagher Express.
Just search Paul Gallagher Express. I'm sure you'll find him. All right. Be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, browse past shows, find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in, and
keep on writing.
Keep on distributing
and writing and doing all this stuff.